Hi, I'm Karen Webster, and welcome to Data Drivers, where we tell a story about a topic of interest in payments using three numbers. Today, I'm joined by Scott Carcillo, the CIO of MerchantLink. Hey, Scott, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us on.
So I know you have your three numbers that you wanted to talk about, but I have a number that I want to talk about first, and that number is 5. That's the number of Super Bowl rings that Tom Brady, the best quarterback of all times, now has in his possession, one for each finger on his hand that he uses to throw that football so magically. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think he's one slice short of Jordan, but probably 5 short of Bill Russell, right?
Well, the other number I was going to throw out was -1. You know, he did lose his Super Bowl jersey. So all of you listening, if you have
it,
yeah, he did. Someone took it from his bag. So any of you who are out there hoping to get it on eBay, I don't know. All right. Well, wanted to get that out of the way and remind everyone that, yes, the New England Patriots are the greatest football team in history. So now that we've gotten through that, let's get down to business. So MerchantLink is a cloud-based payment gateway that has a variety of merchant clients as well as a variety of solutions that really help merchants manage their business and payment enable those businesses more efficiently. So data point number one, I have to say I was a little surprised at this number, but you can explain. 82%. Now, that is the number that you say of your transactions that are EMV. Wow.
Yeah, so that's the orders that we're seeing come in the door these days. And we're transitioning a bunch of customers over to EMV, but it's really taken off in the market segments we serve in restaurant, retail, and hospitality. What we've done is we've gone through and certified with our top 5 processors and 3 pin pad providers, so there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, the other interesting number is if you take that 82%, the other 18% plus some of the 82 is merchants who are really interested in P2P validated, which falls primarily in the quick serve. They don't want to wait for some of the transaction times on EMV, quick chip or not quick chip. And so they find that they skip EMV, they have a lower dollar threshold, they don't fall into the chargeback framework as much, and are much happier to be doing P2P validated in stadiums and the like.
So this isn't transactions, these are orders for terminals.
These are orders for sites, for merchants, for customers who want to go live. So 82% of our customer base is converting or new deals that are almost 100% coming in EMV.
Wow. And are you surprised by that?
I am and I'm not. We have an interesting distribution of business. We have about half of our business is name brands you'd hear every day, and the other half are smaller merchants. They could be a single storefront, 5 storefronts, franchisee with 10 locations, and we're seeing across the board adoption, which I wasn't sure was going to happen in the first, you know, year to 15 months, but it has definitely been happening.
Interesting. So your take on this is that there is no resistance to the changeover to EMV, even if it's a smaller merchant. They're interested in doing the upgrades and accepting chip cards, basically.
Yeah, so I think that if they have an average ticket that exceeds that $25 range that Visa and MasterCard set up for alleviating chargebacks, then EMV becomes a fairly easy dialogue for themselves because the cost-benefit equation actually shows a payback. If they're below that threshold, then they're trying to decide when they have to do it so that as the tipping point comes with EMV, they don't look like the guys who haven't done it, who are perceived less secure. And so some of them are holding off, but we have a ton of business flowing through at this point that are all adopting EMV or adopting P2P validated in the quick serve space.
Interesting. So data point number 2, and I think I'm going to need you to clarify this a little bit. 98%, and that is the percentage of your customers that say they want a trusted advisor, and I presume that means they're not just looking for someone to process transactions. They really want something more than that. Is that right?
It is, and they do. So when we embarked upon, we've always been a cloud-based gateway, and we had not done much in the inside the merchant store or property. And 2 years ago when we started down this path, we learned that many of our customers, while payments are critically important to them, they didn't want it to have to be one of their core competencies, and they wanted somebody where it was their core competency. And so we've been asked by customers, you know, customers with thousands of sites and customers with one site to be the point of contact for all of their hardware purchasing decisions, help them with their on-site analysis, get them live, help them with decision points around pay at table or pay at workstation, chip and PIN or chip and signature, the PIN preferring cards. It's really been quite interesting. And so as a result, we've had to put a series of programs in place around formulating a 20 questions for our sales team. And we branded an At Your Service program, which we think is a white glove approach for merchants. And then we've had to go and we're working on automating a series of our build outs so we can streamline some go live times down to about 3 weeks, which today we struggle with at times given the volumes.
So is this precipitated by the more complicated environment now that really represents payments and commerce, you know, with the introduction of mobile and the transition to EMV? There are just more decisions that need to be made, and it sounds like merchants are saying, you know more about it than we ever could, so we need you to take this off our plate.
I would say absolutely. I think not only is it the complexity, it's also the pace of change. Over the last 4 years, the pace of change has been dramatically different than probably the prior 20. Maybe that 4 years is 5 years. And now that pace picks up ever more. So, you know, Apple Pay announced that they were going to allow website Apple Pay over the web. And we had a merchant with a few hundred thousand customers, and they wanted to do that. So we hustled through, enabled that capability, and now we're offering that to a couple hundred thousand merchants across the country. It's those types of things where you say, okay, if that's going to be announced, we ended up rolling that out the week after it went live. And so what we've had to do is we've had to put project managers assigned to different channels, and we've had to, you know, host blog sessions and do webinars with our customer base and even our channel partners to help them understand what's available and to continually explain some of the shifts going on in the EMV space and contactless.
Do you find that your merchants are driven to ask you questions because they're getting pressure from their customers that they want to pay a particular way, or are they reading the trade press and not wanting to be left behind? What would you, if you had to pick one of those two things, what's driving most of the queries your way?
I think it's the millennial consumer group. People not wanting to be left out of that demographic, and those in other demographics and their aptitude for technology. And so, excuse me, I think that's part of what's happening. I think another element that's happening is a desire for a whole series of line busting capabilities, whether that's in, you know, you're in a restaurant and you want to do an automated checkout, or you're in a hotel and you want to do an automated check-in or check-out. And so we're having to help merchants find their way through some of that and collaborate with them, frankly. Sometimes they just bring us to the table and talk about their strategies and want to make sure we're thinking about things consistently.
Are there particular segments within the merchant base that you serve that seem to have more of an appetite for this now than others? I mean, you mentioned that it isn't necessarily large or small, but is it restaurants versus hotels? Is there any sort of preference or demand that is in one sector over another at this point for particular things?
So we see the consultative dialogues wanting to happen with all of your full service or fine dining restaurants, many of your fast casual, because they're the ones trying to figure out what are they going to do with the tableside experience. Right. Then in the hotel space, it's anywhere from the mid-market to the majors or our smaller boutiques where experience is a premium. Those are the places where we see the most consultative sells. And I think the other one is around you have a large stadium environment. So one of our customers goes in, and let's say they're in Ravens Stadium, just so I can give you a little bit of a rib.
And why would they want to be in the Ravens Stadium when they can be in the Pats?
They're loyal fans.
But anyway, go ahead.
They're loyal fans. There's good money to be made. So they have, you know, 150 outlets, but the Ravens don't want to have any PCI scope. So our customer has to come up with a P2P validated solution, and they have to figure out how they're going to operate. They may have a few restaurants where they want to do pay at table, but primarily they're trying to do quick serve. They might have a little bit of fast casual, and so they need a P2P validated solution. Some lanes pay at table, some pay at counter. Maybe they've added a MasterPass or another solution so that you can pay at the table without the wait staff involved. And then they have their quick serve model where they want to be able to operate in a store and forward mode, or where they might need to operate in a store and forward mode. And some of those lanes are EMV based and some of them are not. So it becomes a complex set of decisions they have to make in order to adopt the technology effectively.
What are restaurants, full service restaurants, doing with respect to EMV? Where are the trend lines moving with respect to how they're going to accommodate a new payment mix into their establishment?
Yeah, so I see adoption is very high. I don't know if I shared this before, but what we do when we roll out EMV is we include tokenization for data at rest and point-to-point encryption for data in flight, so that not only do they have those two components, but they also pick up EMV for the fraud liability shift, or the liability shift. Excuse me. So in the full-service restaurants, we're seeing people start to dip their toe into pay-at-table capabilities because they're trying to come up with unique settings where the server isn't in a situation where they appear to be hovering while the guest has their dining experience and is looking to pay. But we're starting to see that become more and more prevalent. I'm not sure if you know or not, but the Phoenix Airport, they've mandated to their merchants that they all have pay-at-table capabilities in their restaurants.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's been a Sky Harbor, I think it's called. That's been a major change that we've seen. And for anybody who's listening who's interested, I think it's well worth the trip. They have a series of dining outlets all using technology in slightly different ways. It's really a great incubator for ideas.
Interesting. So what is the consumer reaction to that? I mean, clearly they know they have a chip card, but that is a very different experience at the table for them, especially if the device is what I've seen used. I mean, and it's predominant in Europe, it really is a little terminal that they bring to your table.
Right, so I think it depends on your mental model. Some guests love it, and some guests are put off by it. So I think you need to do a little bit of an assessment around who your clientele are and who the clientele are that you're interested in attracting. And you got to find a balance between the two, because it can be off-putting to some. And what we've done actually is we've given the opportunity for, in the context of, you know, if you end up with repeat business, you know that guest, et cetera, we've given the ability across various lanes to run EMV, non-EMV, pay at table, pay at counter. So there's different opportunities to treat the merchant in different ways, the guest in different ways. And frankly, you can do you can leave your process as is today. One, what I would say is misconception. EMV does not require that you present the receipt and get the signature on the PIN pad itself. You can have a wait station run chip and signature and deliver back the same paper that you've delivered in the past for their signature and for their tip and for adjustments. If you want to do pay at table with the pin pad, you're going to be bringing the pin pad to the table for the guest dining with you to go through their process of checking out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And so why would restaurants do that if they can do the former? Why would they do the latter?
I think that there was I'll give you one study I'm aware of. So Wagamama in the UK, they piloted with Oracle Corporation and MasterPass a solution, and we weren't involved, but it was at an Oracle Industry Connect about 18 months ago. And they showed that they had a 12-minute window. So they had this great customer experience. People loved their food. They loved everything about it. And then when the customer raised their hand to say they were ready to check out, it would take 12 minutes before they could actually get up from their table.
Hmm.
And that was, you know, getting paper, going through your typical restaurant dining process. So right. They were thinking about originally it giving them better table turns, but in the end, what it really was doing was improving their guest satisfaction, because the 12 minutes at the end became a little bit of a detractor for them based on the rest of the dining experience. And by taking that down to a minute, people were over the moon.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. So I'll take your word. Let's move to the third data point. 100%. I mean, this is, I have to say, the first two gave me pause. Maybe the first one a little more than the second one. 100%. The number of customers that are asking about contactless. Tell me more.
So you get into this consultative or trusted advisor discussion, and invariably it comes up. The discussion about mm-hmm. Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, Chase Pay, Google Wallet, Facebook, right? The Visa's got their Visa checkout. MasterCard's got their MasterPass. So they're trying to figure out what they need to accept or not accept. Where mm-hmm. the industry is heading, is it going to be more of a network or more of a card issuer play? How many of the boutiques are important to put on their display? Because you can put all of these as tap-and-go payment capabilities. And we frequently tell them that, you know, the vast majority of these are already available to you. So when we certified, we certified the ChaseNet, and that happens to be the Chase Pay runs on those rails. We went through our process. We made sure Apple Pay works, Samsung Pay, and the others. So some of these, it's education for them. I think the other component that really has started to happen and will be impactful before the end of this calendar year for sure, card issuers have started issuing cards that only take contactless EMV. So they'll take a card present dip. But if you're using it for tap and go, it's a contactless EMV transaction versus what has always been a contactless magstripe transaction. And what that means is two things. One, there'll be a flood of companies trying to get their contactless EMV certs with the processors. Mm-hmm. But two, those cards end up declining or falling back to a card present transaction, and that just becomes a customer experience challenge at times. And so that conversion starting with, there's some major players out there who their latest issuances of cards on renewal are set up to be contactless EMV.
Interesting. So they're asking about it. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are asking because they want it. They're asking because they're really not sure which way to go, and whether or not it's something they need to worry about right away. You're saying you certify it anyway, so it's just letting them know that they can accommodate that kind of payment if presented.
Correct. So they're coming from their own mental model where they know what products they like to use personally, and then they're asking about, you know, how does it work, how should they think about it in their business segment. And the reality is, if they think about the way they and their friends like to use that, they'll have a good idea about how they can use it in their across their merchant base, their customer base, and their different sites. But then we talk to them about some of these emerging things happening with contactless EMV cards, and it makes them realize that okay, that time's going to come sooner rather than later. And if they're going to make an investment in pin pads and they're going to make an investment in other technologies, they might as well get this as a lift that goes with it, because the millennial population is growing and their spending is growing, and this is one of the ways they prefer to pay.
What are you hearing from your customers with respect to consumers using mobile phones to pay in their locations? Are they asking about whether they can? Give me some feedback from what you're hearing in the field.
So they're asking, can they and are they? Yes, some definitely are. Typically what we're seeing is discussions around, excuse me, two things, an Apple Pay in-app purchase or the MasterPass Visa checkout experience. Where, mm-hmm. But so far what we've seen is that those are largely merchant-based systems for the solution. Now, mm-hmm. you may be able to use MasterPass wherever the merchant uses MasterPass, and that's a good thing, mm-hmm. as long as you're signed up. But we've not seen the proliferation yet for it to take hold widely.
Mm-hmm.
Some geographies.
So you're saying, I'm sorry. So just make sure that I understand this. So the demand is more in app versus phone as form factor substitute for card. Did I hear that right?
Currently, but I think that's going to change. I mean, I personally think that's going to change. I think people like Domino's working with Facebook and others are going to create a scenario where you're going to see a fairly prominent shift over the next couple of years.
To contactless?
Or just pay by phone. Pay by Facebook Messenger is one of the things Domino's is looking to do. You're going to be doing that right off your phone.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced that contactless, the way we've been talking about it for the last 5 years, is going to be the consistent way we transact. Because I think there are just too many other, you know, app-based solutions that are that solve other problems that don't require contact with a terminal. That, I mean, to your point about Domino's and Facebook, now you can order anything from the Domino's menu via a bot in Messenger. And, you know, mobile order ahead in-app doesn't require any sort of any sort of contact with the terminal. So I think, you know, I think that's where, particularly in the industries that you serve, think about a hotel.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a very
different experience.
And I think that's where things will take off. I don't think that I agree with you that the current kind of in-market solutions are gonna, they have their day today, but I don't believe that's the viable future.
Yep, I would agree. Well, listen, Scott, thanks very much for giving me the floor so I could throw out my number before I got you to throw out your three. But it was great to catch up. Interesting statistics on, I think, the adoption of EMV, which I know is always a question mark, particularly when you're thinking about merchants in the fast food QSR restaurant space. There's been a lot of talk about perhaps merchants slowing down, but your proof that they are off and running and actively deploying EMV terminals. And, you know, contactless remains a question mark. It's a topic of conversation, but not necessarily something that will be deployed, perhaps as the way we originally envisioned it. And I think that the thing that's most interesting is that merchants really want an advisor. They're looking for an opportunity to express their concerns, ask questions about what's required given their customer base and their unique needs. And the expectation is that you provide them with options and help them get it done.
Karen, thank you for taking time with us today.
No, it was great, Scott. And I will see you soon and talk to you again. Thanks for your time. I really enjoyed it. And everyone who gave us your time this afternoon, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.